Let us pray. Lord, we know that Jesus went forth in the power of the Spirit, and we believe that that power, that the same Holy Spirit moves among us today, especially when your word is declared. And so we ask for his work in Jesus' name as we hear your word. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, I find myself slowly moving into a very specific group of priests in our diocese. A very small group of priests. Actually, maybe only about three of us, two or three of us, that have actually been at a church, one church, longer than 20 years. Kind of crept up on me. So let's just say there's 52 Sundays in a year, right? Sometimes I think it varies, but let's just say there's 52. I take four off. That leaves 48. 48 times 21. That is 1,008 Sundays. Now, I preach twice on Sunday, so that's actually 2,016 Sundays. And then you count extra days, holy days, and, you know, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and some of those different days. Funerals, around 50 of those. Baptisms, I'm around 50 of those. Around 20 weddings, right? What it all boils down to is you have heard a lot of my sermons, haven't you? An awful lot of them. In some ways, that's hard. Hard for you, hard for me. You know, John Wesley, that famous Anglican evangelist, preached, some say, more than 5,000 sermons, 7,000 sermons in his lifetime. He rode over 275,000 miles on horseback through Britain and Ireland. Would get up at daybreak and start preaching at daybreak on Sunday and preach around five sermons every Sunday. And yet he said that he doesn't think he could preach to the same people week after week after week. Familiarity. They say that it breeds contempt. And there are some studies along those lines that say that there's some truth to that. That when our brains encounter someone or something new, they are in a state of heightened awareness, eagerly seeking out positive qualities and novel experiences. It's an initial phase of curiosity, of excitement, and a desire to learn more. However, the more time with someone or something, right, we start to notice flaws. We start to notice shortcomings. Our brains shift, psychologists say, from seeking positive to detective potential threats. We develop, they say, what's called a negativity bias. We're more attuned to negative information than positive information. When things are strange and unfamiliar, we're filled with excitement. Wow, how odd. I can't believe he said that. How unusual. I must go home and think about that. I must go home and learn more about that, right? Someone has called Americans a society of neophiles. Lovers of the new. Well, it happens in all areas of life, familiarity. Certainly, it happens when it comes to Bible stories. You know, our lectionary is a 3-year cycle. So that means after this year, I've preached the 3-year cycle 7 times. Pretty familiar with the stories, aren't we? And I've been hearing the stories, like some of you, all my life, more than 60 years. these same Bible stories. Something went horribly wrong when Jesus preached his first sermon in Nazareth, his hometown, on the Sabbath. We don't have the entire reading today in our gospel, but what happened was, at the end of the sermon, they took him out to the hillside and tried to throw him over it. That's a bad sermon, right? Wow. Jesus comes to the synagogue as his custom is, as he always does. And at the closing of the service comes what is referred to as a haftarah. And that is a portion of the prophets that is read at the dismissal, the haftarah. And usually any young man from the community could do the reading, and then if he wished, he could comment on what he read. Jesus comes forth. He's 30 years old. They've known this person for a long time. They know him. They're familiar with him. He takes the scroll and he reads from Isaiah 61, a little bit from Isaiah 58. And they know the scriptures. Oh, do they know them? My, oh my, have they heard them so many times. And they say, this is just Joseph and Mary's son. This is just the carpenter. This is just a reading from the scroll. We want to see something spectacular. Do something. Wow us, okay? Wow us with something. Do something. Say something different. Come on now. And we find out that they didn't know him because they knew him. Let me say that again. They didn't know him because they knew him. They were blinded by familiarity. They had read Isaiah so many times that it escaped them. It meant nothing to them. And it's a remarkable passage. Good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, freeing the prisoner. Jesus is talking about this group of people who are living in absolute darkness and hopelessness. If you are blind, you're not going to the eye doctor. If you are poor, you are poor and your family is poor for life. If you're in prison, you're not getting out. This is a group of broken-hearted people. Quite a message. And Jesus says the kingdom has come to this people especially. The kingdom has come. I haven't come to fix your sorrows. I have come to bear your sorrows. I have come to bear your sins. I haven't come to fix problems, to fix death. I have come to defeat it. I have not come just to weep for you, but I am going to weep with you. It's a remarkable message, really. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, you have to go back to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25 gives us something called the year of Jubilee. And what happens is that this is every 50 years. And what happened, what God said back in Leviticus about the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, every 50 years, you would turn the land back. If you had lost your land, done something stupid, got in debt, I don't know, if something happened, you end up in prison, made a big mistake and really messed up your life, right? God said that in the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, this would all be made right. You'd get your land back. You'd get set free. Your debts would be cleared. Okay? I mean, it's scandalous, right? Could you imagine doing that today? I mean, if you did something like that, it is extravagant grace. Jesus said, it's here. It's me. The year of God's favor, the second chance is here. God's grace. It's what we need. It's what we crave. Paul starts every letter in the New Testament with grace and peace to you. I used to think that was just kind of a dear whatever, a common greeting, but it's not. Grace and peace to you, he says. What can be better than grace? What can be better than a second chance? What can be better than the year of the Lord's favor? The psalmist says in Psalm 113, "Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high and yet humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and earth? He takes up the lonely out of the dust. He lifts up the poor out of the ashes." Another translation is the trash heap, okay? Because that's what it was. They burned their trash. He lifts us up from the trash heap that we may set us with princes and with the princes of people. Who is like that? Who has a God like that? And yet, they heard it so many times that it just had no effect. I don't know if you've heard of Catherine Hankey. Catherine Hankey was an Anglican born in 1834. And she got involved with John Wesley and the revivals and the gospel, became a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school organizer. And in 1866, she got seriously ill, near death, bedridden. And on her bed, she wrote this poem, which William Howard Doane put music to, and it's now quite a famous hymn. "Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget it so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love." God commanded Moses to sit the children at the table in the Old Testament and tell them how they got out of Egypt. When Moses was dying, he said, "Bring your children to me. I want them to hear the commands of God." In Nehemiah chapter 8 that we read today, it says that the people came out as one, and believe me, their children were there, as Ezra stood up on the platform and read from morning till afternoon the word of God. When Jesus went into the synagogue, it says, as was his custom, as was his custom, because he had been going into that synagogue and hearing God's word since he was a child. When he preached to the 5,000, there was a child there with his lunch that Jesus used. The children sat on his lap. We're here today to baptize Henry George Bubb. And to make sure that he is told the story over and over and over. So bring Henry forward and let's baptize him.